Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. This week, I'm joined by
Cole Stephenson, and I am a gay writer and comedian with an ass that won't quit. I created the show Sports for Gays and Curious Straights, Caveat. Now, I'm on a pit house sketch team, Kennedy's Mistress, and I do stand-up and all kinds of fun stuff around New York City, baby.
And as our resident sports expert, I had to bring in Cole to help us understand all things Super Bowl that happened with this major American sporting event, especially the Super Bowl halftime routine. Oh my God, y'all catch J-Lo and Shakira shutting it down. They got a little political, but was it enough? And speaking of folks who are getting political, pop divas who are getting political, so I may have watched that Taylor Swift documentary, and I may have to walk back some of the many comments that I may have thrown in her direction, calling her basic. The power of documentaries and stories, you know? You think you know, but you really just have no idea. And once again, looks like the Super Bowl commercials catered to rainbow capitalism. Like, it is just the thing. But isn't it nice to be included? We discuss. And what was with these commercials? Were they all directed by M. Night Shyamalan? Because they were weird. And then we unpack the problematic nature of the NFL, which this could take a while because you know there is a lot to unpack here between Colin Kaepernick, the NFL partnering with the mothers who have lost sons to police violence PSAs, Jay-Z's involvement. But then again, he and Bey did sit out the national anthem. So much to talk about. We then have our own Minority Corner Super Bowl halftime show. In honor of Black History Month kicking things off, I'm going to introduce us to influential Black queer musician trailblazers that have influenced modern day music. We're going to be talking about Sylvester, Mom Rainey, Willie Ninja, and so many more. Did a gay athlete invent the high five? The tables turn as Cole puts me in the hot seat this week for the quiz corner as it's back to sports. Cole learns us about gay sports stars in Major League American sports and right in line with Black History Month because they all happen to be black. Okay, go ahead, black gay sports stars. But don't worry, it'll get really gay again as we take a break to debate Kylie vs. Madonna. Plus the Netflix documentary Inside the Mind of Aaron Hernandez, spooky. And the generational divide of Lil Nas X. Which side do I fall on? So it's an action-packed episode with Cole Stephenson right here on Minority Corner. It's time to learn, laugh, and play. Dunna, dunna, dunna. That was me trying to do like a Super Bowl intro theme song.
It was great.
Was that it?
I didn't.
Da 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 da.
That's it.
Dun, 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 dun. Are you ready for some football?
Football.
So all my ladies and gays and everything in between.
Yes.
So
Super Bowl. Only those.
And all everybody else.
Yeah, bye. Why are you listening
to
this?
Figure something else out to do. No, you can listen. You can
No, please.
So the Super Bowl happened.
It sure did.
And I needed some help breaking this all down. So yeah. I brought in Cole from Sports for Gays.
Oh my God.
Help us figure this all out.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
So let's get to the main event. Yes. Super Bowl halftime routine.
Yes. Yes. Shakira and J-Lo. They did such a good job.
They did a fabulous job.
It was spellbinding.
Yeah.
And like, the thing is, looking back on it, it was so simple. There was maybe like one or two costume changes each.
And it was subtle. I looked away and looked up and J-Lo had a new costume change.
Like nobody like flew on a rainbow. There were no giant statues. There were no huge set pieces moving around.
Right.
Like, remember when the Red Hot Chili or Black Eyed Peas when they did the thing and like one of the panels didn't work? Like none of that.
There was dancing sharks.
No dancing sharks.
None of that. They kept it simple.
Yeah, they kept it really simple and it was so effective. It was, they played the hits. They had a lot of dancers, really great choreo.
Yes.
I mean, J-Lo showed off her pole dancing skills, which,
oh, yeah,
like...
yeah, fresh off the set of Hustlers.
Yes.
I didn't even put two and two together until just now.
How did you not? Of I course that's why she did that.
I just assume every pop diva swings around a pole every once in a while, because they all do.
True, check the receipts.
Every one of them has danced around a pole, and yeah. I just thought, like, yeah, oh, she's doing the pop diva thing.
No, no, no. That was a Hustlers thing. And it was also like... hey, fuck you, Oscars. Where's
oh,
my
yeah. See this?
Excuse me. She's so needed that.
She's at the Oscars of sports.
Yeah.
And twirling around.
Yeah. Okay, honestly, ScarJo got her noms or whatever. Could Scarlett Johansson do a Super Bowl halftime show?
No, I don't think so.
No,
she'd be winded.
Absolutely not.
So much to break down. Because at first when J-Lo and Shakira were announced, I was like, harumphump.
Yeah.
Just because in general, like, I don't know who could perform at the Super Bowl that I would be okay with, because I'm so aggravated towards the NFL in general. So I do think that they did go a safe route of like, they're like, we can't really pick anyone black right now, because like everyone's turning it down.
It's just such a minefield, right? Like, you know, it becomes a political statement to not do the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so like, is it wrong of them to do that? Like,
yeah. Well, and I was okay, because I was like, well, this is Latinx representation, so I'm here for that. And so I was like, okay, do your thing. And also let's see what they do.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very subtle yet poignant political thing with the Puerto Rican
flag. Absolutely. That was like, it was just a nod.
Just enough. And just a reminder too, because like, I think sometimes people forget when someone like Jennifer Lopez, like, well, here's the thing. Jennifer Lopez also isn't as the most politically vocal human being as well.
Neither of them are, really.
Yeah. And so I think then people kind of forget, like, it's like when Beyonce showed up and she reminded everybody that she was black by doing a Black Panthers thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people were reminded that, like, oh yes, these are Latinx women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, a good reminder of like, why I just had this huge thing recently of like, why isn't DC a state? Why isn't Puerto Rico a state?
Mm-hmm.
Do we
mm-hmm.
need two Dakotas? Sorry, our Dakota people. I just think like there's room for more.
Yeah, absolutely.
No taxation without representation, especially for DC.
So true.
So it was a reminder. So it got me thinking more about that.
And it is kind of crazy that in 2020, reminding people that Puerto Rico exists is like, now that is politics.
Right.
Like, that it's so...
And that it's part of the United States.
You know, to middle America, just the thought that like, anything other than an American flag could exist is politics now. Like it's so weird. And the NFL and the Super Bowl and all of this, it's like, it's just like the peak of like mainstream American culture. And they have such a nose for that shit that like, it's hard to not be political almost. Like,
and I feel like you need, like, I'm personally like in this day and age, I think silence equals death. And I subscribe to people more so when they do get political and say something. Mm-hmm. I think it's more ballsy. This is kind of a bit of a tangent. Like, for example, take Taylor Swift.
Okay.
She did not perform at the Super Bowl.
No, she did not.
But she did have a documentary that came out.
She did.
I'm going to caveat all of this by saying, like, I am not a Taylor Swift, like, fan. I maybe know three of her songs. Mm-hmm. I missed the boat on it. She just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I have called her basic several times on this podcast.
And you wouldn't have been wrong most of that time.
I watched her documentary because I was so curious and I was hungover.
Okay.
And so I just was
interesting
like
interesting combo. Watch some T-Swizz. Yeah, drink some water.
Dabble into here. This will make me better or worse.
Pause, throw up, come back.
All the things happened. And I have to say, it was such an interesting... It reminded me of a few things. One... You think you know and you have no idea.
Really?
You never know what's going on with someone. And I think we can so easily write somebody off.
Yeah.
And it really put a lot of things in perspective of myself of like, oh, okay, I judge this white girl. And
she
was basic. And also like it talks about like, you know, she recently became more politically active and how that came to be, why that came to be.
Yeah, with all the, you know, the white supremacists for a moment took...
We're trying to take
her...
yeah.
Took her being apolitical and having this kind of... You know,
she's from the South, like
clean, white, southern kind
country.
Of image. They said like Taylor Swift is like the alt-right pop star almost when all this Trump shit was going on.
Yeah.
And it like took that and so much more for her to say like, no, fuck that. I'm not about that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I appreciate it. She's such an interesting figure because she's been so incredibly rich and so incredibly famous for so long.
Yeah.
And yet her brand is, I'm the quirky, relatable girl, even now,
right,
who, like, I stumble a little bit, I have fun, I wear sweatpants. And it's like, okay, sure, you're Taylor Swift. Like,
sure.
you are one of the greats of pop in recent history, whether or not you like her or not.
She's making the money.
Sales alone.
Yeah.
Few people compare to what she's done.
Well, also the documentary will remind you is, like, she, like, how everybody has insecurities.
Yes.
Also with the documentary, like, the huge catalyst was she, about why she was like, I'm going to be political,
yeah,
is because she was groped by a DJ producer. She was in that court case.
I remember that.
And
yeah,
it just sort of, and like, apparently she's been wanting to be politically active for so long,
mm-hmm,
but her record label was like, no, that's not you.
Yeah.
That's not you. And she just, as the 2018 midterm elections was coming on, Marsha Blackburn was running in Tennessee, and she was like, fuck it, no, I'm going to use my voice. And she started, like, you know, writing her own songs. And there's so many people, this is going back to people like Jennifer Lopez, or even like my beloved Queen Britney Spears,
mm-hmm,
never come out as politically anything. And I think you have to not love money and your brand so much. You have to be about something. I think we may not have a democracy in 4 years. So it's like,
we may not have one right now.
We may not have one right now.
A real good question.
So you maybe would have wished that you maybe had sort of said something.
Yeah.
And well, you might lose some fans. You're actually gaining another one. I watched 2 Taylor Swift music videos the other day. 2!
Amazing.
I never would have had I not watched her fucking documentary.
Those are 2 views she never would have gotten.
Yes. So you're welcome, T-Swift.
So you heard it here, folks.
Yes.
James Arthur M., Taylor Swift convert. He has joined the church.
Well, I'm not going that far, but like... I won't, like, denigrate her on the podcast anymore.
Okay.
And actually, it was a great reminder for me to, it's okay to not have an opinion on someone or something.
Oh my God, that is so true.
I feel like we have to, and I felt like I had no need or reason to have any a strong opinion about Taylor Swift at all.
Yeah.
It's like she did anything.
It's such Taylor Swift Twitter hot take culture.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, I need to have some quippy little gay snarky opinion
or
on
something.
Every single celebrity. Like the dig that I've heard, because spoiler alert, I haven't actually seen the documentary.
Totally fine.
But the thing that I've heard people say is that it is a very whitewashed representation of her. That, like, it does still have this, you can tell that she had a hand in crafting the narrative about herself.
Yeah.
So it doesn't let you in all the way, but like, no shit, I'm not going to let somebody like...
Totally just rip into
me. Yeah.
At the same time, I will say this. There are times when I was watching and I was like, oh, she's such a white girl.
Mm.
But like, that's still, I can still process that and still take in the empathy and the human being on the other side.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's the thing that it reminded me of, is that like, we all have to remind ourselves that there is a human being on the other side and we're losing that sort of empathy. So with that being said, I hope more folks like Britney and J-Lo take a risk and stand up and say more things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like commercials have been doing. In
like commercials.
Like in the Super Bowl. You watched more of the Super Bowl than I did.
I did.
Okay.
I watched, you'd be so proud of me. The most thing that I watched was the game itself. Like,
wow.
I have reached a point in this like whole gay sports thing that I'm doing where I understand what's happening in football.
Good for you.
And the game itself, pretty good.
It
was close the whole time.
Yeah,
it was engaging right up until the end.
Oh my God.
It was...
The last 2 minutes,
yeah,
which is actually like the last 30 minutes, because that's how football works.
That's how football works, is you start and stop a whole lot.
We had it muted in the background, and then
yeah,
of course, like when J-Lo and Shakira came on, we're like, oh!
Yeah.
Because I'm from San Francisco, so obviously rooting for San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to beat Kansas City, because I felt like had Kansas City gotten beaten, we could have then said, change your fucking name, you losers.
Yeah.
Could we have said that? Could
okay,
we have gotten a petition going? You lost, change your name.
So this is, I mean, yes, I think that the
Kansas City Chiefs
should change their shit regardless. Maybe that would have been the case if the 49ers had won. But like the whole thing about like trying to like ascribe like Trump won because the Chiefs won Middle America or whatever. Like that was some like stupid take that you've seen out there in the world. That's not fair, because if the 49ers had won, they have a Trumpy guy who's one of the coaches or whatever.
Fair.
And that would have been the narrative or quarterback or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like the Republicans just have a way of lying
spinning
and
narratives,
twisting shit and making themselves the winners all the time.
All the time.
And at the end of the day, the NFL just is Republicans. Like, any time the NFL makes money, Republicans are making money.
Yeah.
Like, that just is...
NFL is, I think it puts, and that's why like I have such a hard time of supporting and watching the NFL.
Yeah.
Because they pay the cheerleaders get paid shit. It's like
nothing. Minimum wage.
They have to like buy their own outfits. They can't go to like, they can't talk to any of the players.
They can't talk to the players. They like have to like, all of their social media is monitored.
Yes. Like, and like,
crazy.
It's insane. So there's that. And again, it's like the NFL is a not for profit organization, $1 billion organization. They should pay their fucking taxes.
Yes.
And also, just like there's all that involved. So that's already frustrating. And then, like, also, I think like with the 49ers winning, or it's frustrating because you see the 49ers in the Super Bowl and you're reminded about Colin Kaepernick, and that was the team that he was on. Yeah. Did you hear? So the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay-Z and Beyonce did not stand during Demi Lovato's national anthem.
Ooh.
Not because of Demi Lovato, but it's just...
one would assume. Yeah.
Or maybe it was. Maybe Beyonce. It was. Bey was just like, I ain't standing for her.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
But they didn't stand. They didn't stand for the national anthem.
That's why Beyonce's a queen, right? That's why they're like the number ones, right?
And I feel like that's how they're able to walk, because a lot of people are side-eyeing Jay-Z because he's now working with the NFL. Him and Roc Nation are working with the NFL, which I think is maybe why J-Lo and Shakira signed on to come and do the Super Bowl routine. But because people are like, oh, you're not really supporting, you know, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And so they didn't stand for the national anthem. I have a confession. I go to sports games. I don't stand for the national anthem either. I stopped. I support Colin Kaepernick. I wish that we did the National Black Anthem instead or something. Like, not enough conversation has been going on. I think it's bullshit that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a contract.
Absolutely.
I think it's bullshit. I do support, like, I do understand where Jay-Z is coming from, where him at this point, he's saying it's been 3 years and we need to keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, like, infiltrate the system from within and change it approach, which I see the value in. And, you know, I think it's important that, you know, black men become business owners, and especially in the NFL, like of all of the places
most of the owners are white and most of the players are black.
And you know, just the phrase owner is so charged, and all the different kind of stuff. So like it's hard. I hope that he can make change.
Yeah.
But systems also have a way of changing the people that they're in.
Well, especially when capitalism and money is involved.
Yeah.
Because they did do, and it's this weird thing, because we always have to side-eye businesses, but then at the same time, when businesses are at least trying to make an effort, even though their main goal is to make money, but at least they're having the conversation.
Yes. Okay. And so this wraps back around, because we derailed from commercials.
Yes.
There were political commercials. There were gay commercials going on. There was one in like the very first commercial break or something that was like, we're lesbians. We're lesbians. Skincare was like the thing. It was like this really horrible ad, like where two women like took off their helmet. It's like, they're women. And then, are they lesbians? And like, that was the commercial. And then it was like Dove or something.
Oh, Dove. They always keep you guessing. I love the football commercials. You never know. Like, it'll be like a dragon. And then it's like tampons.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl commercials are always, thank you for a ride.
There was
M. Night Shyamalan twist every time.
I mean, the commercials, they definitely, I think largely, there were some political commercials that were like cashing in on like activism and some shit, but like for the most part, I think a lot of the businesses just went weird, like not even good,
right?
Weird, just like, let's do something really fucked up and then everybody's gonna remember,
like
us.
The TurboTax commercial.
Was that the one where Jason Momoa takes off his arms?
No, tell me about that one. Why would we have Jason Momoa take off his arms?
So there's,
unless they're gonna like,
the TV was muted.
Then that's okay.
Can he mail them to me?
I would
and
just
then
like
just
to sleep next to Jason Momoa's arms.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
Just wrap him around me. He can go off and do whatever and do his interviews.
As
and
long
just
as his
keep
arms
his arm.
Are with me.
God, I don't even.
Like he's always hugging me.
Yeah, there was so much going on in the commercial. I think we also had it muted or people were talking. I don't remember. But like,
what was the ad about? Arms? That was a Dove?
So what I remember from this ad is Jason Momoa, you know, big beefy man, walks into his home, takes off his arms.
As one does.
And he's like got skinny little chicken arms underneath. takes off his abs and he's got like a weak, like flabby kind of thing going on.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Peels back his hair so he's like balding and his hair's all stringy and then plays a mandolin or something. And I think it was home insurance and then something about they're trying to get his skinny arms to bench press and he can't.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. They're trying to get you just like remember shit.
I mean, I'm
like,
talking about it now.
That. Yeah.
Jesus.
There was a lot of like, I noticed there was a lot of like LGBT commercials.
Rainbow capitalism, yeah.
Yeah, which like I'm always of the thing of like, come get my money. Yeah. Like I'm okay, I'm included in the conversation. There was an Ellen and Portia de Rossi
Yes, there was.
Jonathan Van Ness had a very weird Pop-Tarts commercial.
Yes.
I love that he's advertising for Pop-Tarts.
Why not? Sure. I take Pop-Tart money. Like, I'm not above that.
I definitely recommend watching the TurboTax one. It's, they're doing this weird sort of dance, and it's like this rap. It's like a Lizzo-esque rap, but it's not Lizzo. It's very entertaining. Wow. It's like a minute long, and it's just the same song over and over again. Oh, Lil Nas
was
in a commercial, and I barely know who he is.
How do you?
I barely
that just doesn't make any sense.
Because I was looking through, like, they're like going through the Grammys, like who won, and they're like Lil Nas showing up in a pink cowboy suit. I'm like, this is, I don't know who he is.
How, like, you have a Twitter, right?
Turning
like
35.
You, oh my God.
I'm off the cusp. Tell me, young one, who is Lil Nas?
Well, I mean, first off, thank you so much for recognizing how I'm young. I'm actually 17 years old. I was born after.
What's after Generation Z?
Generation they haven't even invented it yet because there's so few of us.
They're still deciding what
you're
gonna
be. I came
out
of the womb like 6 years ago.
And they're like, we have to figure out what this generation
is. I'm really
is.
Advanced for my age.
They're letting you decide what your generation will be called.
It's very, you know, new wave. We're naming ourselves. No, but Lil Nas X, I'm 25 for the record. Lil Nas X, he's
not on trial here.
He's a gay rapper.
Which is amazing. And he won awards?
Yes.
How do I not know about him? I'm
gay.
Have
you heard the song Old Town Road?
I've heard about
it. Take my horse to the... How have you not?
With my defense, I've heard about it. The ladies on the beat. I haven't heard it, but I've heard about it.
Oh my God.
And
no,
that, like,
it was
a controversy because it wasn't allowed on like the country top radio or something.
Yes, 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 yeah. Okay, so... Okay, so you need the actual full story. Wow, that's crazy.
We have no
So idea. I think this was just literally, I mean, everything's happened so fast. Summer-ish of 2019, Lil Nas X, young rapper, SoundCloud rapper, small profile, not a lot going on, comes out with a song called Old Town Road. It is a rap song that has this like twanging guitar over it, country based. It's a country song.
You know,
it has all the trappings of that, and it has a little bit of like this rapping kind of thing going on because that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
People really liked it. People really responded to it. It blew up really quickly. Super catchy song. It's really accessible. You know, like even little kids like it because the words are really.
And even Lil Kim.
So Lil Kim. And it's so infectious. And so got really big, got on the Billboard charts, and then the country. Whatever powers that be, I'm assuming this again, me gathering information through Twitter, and I'm just picking up little bits and pieces of the story.
Best news source.
Some racist country person said, "This is not a country song, it doesn't belong on our list." And
AKA
so,
he's black,
yes, exactly.
Fair.
This is a hip hop song, and like, fuck off, like, you don't get to decide. And so, then at that point, Billy Ray Cyrus steps in and does a remix. Old Town Road to a much larger platform because of it. He's very cool, very trendy. Shout out to Billy Ray Cyrus.
Who get all the snaps.
Did a real solid.
Also fathered Miley Ray Cyrus.
Father of Miley. You know, the good and bad that comes with that. But again, he has found a one-hit wonder that's going to keep him relevant for the next like 10 years.
And he won a Grammy. And he's gay and black.
Yeah, absolutely. But so Billy stepped in. They did the remix. Now cannot be denied that this is a country song.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so, and I actually really like his voice. Billy Ray Cyrus' voice sounds really good in that version.
He's in the Doritos commercial too, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Probably with Lil Nas X.
Yeah, well, the Doritos commercial is Lil Nas X and then Sam Elliott.
Yes.
A dance off. And Lil Nas X is dancing, and then Sam Elliott's mustache just dances.
Yes. Okay, I remember.
And then
this
Billy
one.
Ray Cyrus is just playing the guitar, and he's like, "I'm not dancing."
Yeah.
And Doritos.
Yeah, Doritos. But I mean, that's the and then so just a lot more remixes of the song have come out. Very trendy, very popular. Lil Nas X is very, very, very funny. Yeah. Just like a natural memer. always on Twitter, always has the perfect SpongeBob image. I love
that. That is a phrase today. Yeah. She's a natural meme.
He is. I don't know how else to say it. Like, he's really good at that kind of stuff. I want to be a really funny.
So do you think some people are just like naturally talented at memers and some people have to like work at it?
Yeah, I think so.
Sort of like, you know.
I think that there's just a certain type of person who sees a random picture of SpongeBob and it's like,
I know what this phrase is.
Oh, that's when I got blank, blank dick down last night. Oh, this is me drunk in the Uber for it. Like, and
when she just says,
yeah. And so some people, they just got the gift.
Have it. Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
I think I have about 30% on a good day. I can meme. But
as you just need to get the 10,000 hours in. You just have memeing. You just need to log in
you
the time.
You just haven't memed enough.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Why didn't I ever think of that? I need to spend more time on the internet for my problems.
Absolutely.
That'll solve everything. Perfect.
And a less fun, going back to the fucked up.
Here we go.
Sorry. Now that we've had all that fun, I want to riff on the NFL again.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, they had a commercial too.
Yes.
Let's talk about some fucked up weird commercials. So they had a commercial that was a PSA working with some of the mothers who have lost their sons to police violence. So they're working with Jay-Z's Roc Nation and these mothers. And so again, it's sort of like, NFL, yes, you're saying something, but then Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a contract.
Yeah.
But then these mothers were saying like, listen, I'm a Colin Kaepernick fan, but at the same time, I'm a mother.
They said this in the commercial?
No, sorry. They said this on The View.
Okay.
I get all my news from The View. in the commercial, just sort of telling like their stories of like what had happened.
Okay,
and there's a few different like PSAs that they had sort of done. I feel like it's like so complicated. Everything is so canceled or not canceled. Yeah. You know, I think there's just room for humanity. At the same time, like we got to get these stories out.
Yeah. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism. Like, you know.
Oh, put that on a pillow and send it to grandma.
I mean, they're probably, go on Etsy. That's a really common quote. It's already there. 100% if you want a pillow with that. I did not invent that phrase. But like, yeah. And do what you can, right?
No.
Like, just because, you know, if the NFL wants to talk about police violence, that doesn't quiet. That doesn't negate what they did with Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
But it also doesn't make it worse. But those people doing that thing doesn't make it worse. It can be a separate avenue from the same thing. Like,
and they also wouldn't be having this conversation if it wasn't for the work that Colin Kaepernick did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that we're still to this day talking about it. And we'll always talk about it till like
absolutely
the aliens come.
Yeah. And then the PETA commercial. Did you see the PETA commercial?
No.
Did he even make it on? I don't remember it.
The hummus commercial
with the kombucha girl and the drag queen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a PETA commercial at least circulating around. I don't know if it made it to air or whatever, but it was literally a little animated scene wandering around, seeing all these different animals taking a knee one by one. They saw a mouse take a knee. There was an eagle taking a knee. There was a cow taking a knee. There was a pig taking a knee. Okay. Isn't that? It's kind of weird, right?
I'm always kind of confused about PETA and who's on their board of making decisions. I'm confused. I am convinced that there's probably not a black person who works at PETA.
Some very eager white people, I think.
Yes, that's what I think it is, because they also had this huge campaign when they were like saying beating a horse to death is like saying the N-word. And it was like, whoa, okay, this is why you need to diversify your teams.
Yeah.
Because someone will be like, I see what you're trying to say, but we're not going to say it in that way.
And just like on a super basic level, or if we're having an N-word discussion, which like, please don't. I'm so white. Like, this is not, I'm not the person.
We want to go in this, we can go in this direction. Shall we have this laying?
But like, if you can't say one of the words and then you just describe the other thing, which word is worse? Huh?
Probably, because we're not going to say like, oh, saying blank a blank blank is just as bad as saying the blank word.
Yeah.
Because then you're just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, it's not the same. I can say the phrase beating a horse to death. And I can still have a comedy career tomorrow.
Now PETA's not going to be advertising for us now. Thank you.
I say the N-word on this podcast 6 years from now when I get cast on SNL.
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
I'm off.
You're fucked.
Goodbye.
I'm the one who will retweet it.
Yes, yeah.
Please. A jealous bitch.
Please look through everything I've ever done. Cancel me. I'm a bad little boy. I want to be canceled.
At the same time, well, it would depend if you were able to grow and learn from it.
I hope so.
And that's my thing with like Taylor Swift. Like, we asked her to do do more, and then she did more, and then people were like, fuck you, still. I'm like, calm down. You need to calm down. Isn't that one of her songs?
It is.
Look at me. Look at you. I'm growing.
References.
I'm learning about white girls. And then, I still can't name a single Lil Nas lyric.
Isn't that what we're all trying
Old
to
Town
do?
Road. Old Town Road.
No.
Is that it? Am I on?
No. I'm going to take my horse then to the Old Town Road.
Beat a dead horse.
No. And, oh my God, I got to play the song for you.
On an up note.
On an up note.
Marrying Black History Month and football.
Uh-huh. Football.
Football.
Dun, 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 dun. So Lamar Jackson was named the NFL MVP.
Ooh.
He is the second ever unanimous person to be voted in this. I know, I'm reading this headline. Does that make sense?
Yes, 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 yes. Congratulations, Lamar. He's the QB for the Chiefs?
No. He plays for
He's the MVP of this year?
He plays for the Ravens.
Oh, for the Ravens. Okay, okay.
So I don't know how...
They did really well this year. They made it really far.
I think that's funny because he wasn't in the Super Bowl, but they still let him win MVP. How does that work?
That sounds fair. Sure, why not?
I'm like, it's like a consolation prize.
Yeah.
Sorry your team was shit, but you yourself were great.
Basically, being MVP of the NFL is like a participation trophy.
Fair enough.
Like, you know, these whiny babies need to get awards or something.
Apparently, he...
It's not that impressive.
He was drafted really late in 2018.
Oh.
Yeah. So
and
look
he
at him
showed
now.
Them.
See, persevere, y'all.
Yeah.
Persevere. Yeah.
Showed up. Yes, those are the Chanel boots.
Yeah. Well, before we get into more sports,
ooh,
we're going to take a quick break and come back with our own halftime routine.
Yeah.
We're going to dip into a few Black queer musical artists who are trailblazers.
I love that.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Ooh.
Ah, it gets better.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like The Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. Eight Black queer people.
Pew, 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 pew.
Oh, halftime, 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 halftime. Oh, uh-oh, my boobie popped out.
Oh, wow.
I do every time I see, I also get harem fump every time I see a halftime routine, because I just think, Janet Jackson.
Yeah, remember what happened to Janet.
That's why, like, all the ladies who go on there now are just, like, taped up. Although there was a lot of J-Lo crotch.
J-Lo had a leotard with crystals on it.
I think the signature outfit that all the ladies wear now.
Yeah.
Beyonce, Madonna, Lady Gaga, they all kind of do that same thing.
Yeah.
Although the right Christian wing is furious.
I'm glad.
But that means you're doing something right. Oh, yeah. I hope they come after us. That means you're doing something right.
That means that they need to have heard of me first, but they'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah.
I hope to piss off the Christian right
one day. I will tweet this episode to them.
Okay.
And tag you in it.
At the Christian right. Please listen to this and cancel us.
I bet you won't like what we're saying over here. But they were upset because it was just too of a sexual, it was just too sexy.
Yeah, and that.
And then they were like, Democrats pretend that they care about women and then they just slut them around the stage.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yada, yada, yada. I've heard it all before. Shut up, Christian Wright.
But, they definitely won't like this half routine because it's all eight queer black people.
Ooh.
So it's Black History Month, and before we get into like the rest of the sports,
yeah,
I wanted to take a musical interlude.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
So these are just some trailblazers that have really revolutionized the music industry as we usher in Black History Month.
All right.
And let's get them on your Spotify or Apple Music.
I will mark all of them
make,
down.
Yeah, make a list. So the first one is Sylvester.
Sylvester.
Do you know Sylvester? So Sylvester, iconic. Sylvester was pushing boundaries before there were even boundaries to be pushed. He has just like this really great presence. He really was based in San Francisco, had a plethora of records that were sold. He had hits like, Do You Wanna... I always thought this was Do You Wanna Fuck? I was so excited to tell you the name of this song, but it's actually Do You Wanna Funk?
Oh, I see what he did there.
Very clever. Yeah. Because Bruno Mars always does that with Uptown Funk. It's like... Uptown, if you say it fast enough, it just sounds Uptown Fuck. And so when you hear kids singing it, you're like, oh, Lord.
But what does Uptown Fuck You Up mean?
Uptown music gonna fuck you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so it says funk you up, but it's actually, it's like an if you see K me.
Yeah. It's like, clever. It's part of the pun canon.
Yeah,
you
know? It's how like we can like slip naughty words into pop music. Yes, and you can just sing along. And I only really hear it when I see her children sing it. And I'm like, oh God, I clutch my pearls. He also did the song Mighty Real. Yeah. You know that song. You make me feel.
Oh, yes. I love that song.
That's Sylvester.
Aw, Sylvester.
Very influential. He had backup singers who were known as the Two Tons of Fun, who went on to become the Weather Girls.
Ooh.
Who they told us all the rain reports when it was going to rain men.
Wow. History right there.
Right?
That's amazing.
So I think, but he did end up dying of AIDS. There is a Sylvester musical that came out a few years ago. I think it was just touring. I don't know if it made, I think it was touring around and didn't make it to Broadway, but it was making the circuit. So Sylvester, Adam. We also have Ma Rainey. So Ma Rainey, the mother of blues.
Ma Rainey, I know that name. I've heard that name.
She sang the blues like no other. Mm. She just had this electrifying and really revolutionized blues music, and which also influenced things like country music and rock and roll music. She just really is the mother of modern day music.
Yeah. There's a lot of really amazing female figures in blues. Really, really cool trailblazers.
Yeah. And then white people saw their music.
Yep.
So what's great about Ma Rainey is she was not afraid about talking about being a queer ass woman. In her song, Prove It On Me Blues, she brought attention to her experience as a queer woman, where she has lyrics like, I was out last night with a crowd of my friends. It must have been women because I don't like no men.
Mm.
Wear my clothes just like a fan. Talk to the gals just like any old man. Just unapologetic.
Hot.
Yes.
I bet she wore suits. I bet she was.
In this picture, she's wearing a dress, but I wouldn't put it past Ma Rainey does whatever the fuck she wants.
You can wear whatever.
She has like
whenever.
A good like flapper look.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Flapper lady.
Got that little classy thing.
Yeah, you can't define her. Oh, this one's fun. Willie Ninja,
of course.
Legendary.
King.
Yeah. And so also Willie Ninja you hear a lot of times when people do like music that throws up to like ballroom culture, they'll mention Willie Ninja. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lopez has a song called Tens. Have you ever heard the song?
No.
And it's sort of like she's dabbling in appropriating ball culture, but it's kind of okay. Kind of. I don't know.
Well,
I have mixed feelings.
Taking from Madonna's book and Pose.
Well,
because he was, that was Willie in the Pose video, right?
Yes. So Willie Ninja, again, ball culture has like influenced everything about pop music and
so
dance.
So true.
So if you've seen Paris of Burning, you're familiar with Willie Ninja, nicknamed the Godfather, but it could be Godvogger, like Godvoger. See where I'm going with that?
It's a stretch, but I'll let you have it. Sure.
Fair enough. Keep me 100. He's the Godvogger, I'm naming it. Godvoger. So critical like presence in the ballroom culture. For him, voguing was an effective tool implemented to alleviate violence. Which I can kind of get. It's a way to kind of get aggression out.
Yeah, I remember in Paris Was Burning, it was like, when you were on the field, you were doing battle.
Out, yeah.
When I'm a ninja, I'm there to assassinate. I'm there to kill my opponent. And yeah, yeah.
Which I think also makes sense, too, because if you actually kind of look at, like, football, which we need to, you know, relook at, it's sort of like modern-day gladiators. But I think we've gone too far because it's so dangerous and the CTEs that people are getting, the brain damage that people are getting. But I do think that we as human beings do need some sort of outlet for that violent aggression. So instead of Super Bowls, let's just have like balls.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Love that. Stadium the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. Let's get it started.
Let's get it started. I actually love that.
So he had inspiration from like fashion, music, and just kind of put everything into what he was doing. He also, he released his house-infused track, Hot, and gave riveting performances in two of Janet Jackson's music videos, All Right and Escapade, and like you're saying, Madonna's music videos as well. So, and just influence, like, all these folks.
Super. I didn't realize he was a recording artist. You know, it makes sense. He was in that world. I think of him as a dancer first, but
it's like modern day, like the drag queens put out tracks. Everyone gets out a track.
I'm sure they're excellent.
Yeah. This one excited me because I, for one, didn't know his name. And I didn't realize that he was gay. So this is Jermaine Stewart.
Okay.
You might be thinking, who? Go with me here. So he was an entertainer. He first was peeped on Soul Train.
Okay.
And him and his peers, Jodie Watley, Jodie Watley. She has an 80s banger. I have to look into it at the break. And Jodie Watley and Jeffrey Daniel, I swear to God, Jodie Watley has a song that you're going to be like, oh, that's Jodie Watley.
Okay.
So they made a joint effort and created a group called Don Cornelius's Shalimar.
That sounds slightly familiar.
Oh my God, it was such a great name. I love the 80s. So that, well, actually it shouldn't, because that endeavor didn't really take off, but he did have, so maybe you did, but maybe you...
You know, I was born in 2006. It's hard for me to, you know,
you went through a
things.
Time capsule and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Baby New Year. So he had his own song. It was an electric hit called We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off. We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time.
I do remember this one.
Right?
Yeah.
It kind of sounds Michael Jackson-esque. I just didn't know that that was, for one, him. I didn't know he had a name. And two, I didn't know that he was gay. So
that's amazing.
And also fun for, like, you know...
That's a wholesome song.
People think that gays just all want to take our clothes off and suck a bunch of dicks. Yeah. And Jermaine was like, no.
That's only on Fridays. I've got chores and stuff to do.
I got things to do.
I did laundry for 3 hours yesterday.
Living my best gay life.
And then I ate a bunch of dicks.
See? Yeah, but that's not. Well, that's in the sequel song.
Yeah.
This one peaked at number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Ooh.
Okay, Jackie Shane. Jackie Shane is a black transgender stage chameleon.
Ooh.
Just won a Grammy actually in 2019 for Best Historical Album.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what that means. But go Jackie. So Jackie was in the musical scene of Toronto. Not Toronto, but Toronto, you don't pronounce the T.
Toronto?
Yeah.
Is that, but we're still talking about the same place in Canada?
Yes. But if you're local, you don't pronounce the
Toronto,
T.
Toronto, as opposed to Toronto. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
That's how you know. You're one of the cool kids when you don't pronounce that second T.
When I go to Toronto, baby, I'm going to blend in those
hey,
motherfuckers.
Toronto.
Won't even know.
Notice I didn't say the T.
Yeah.
So her soulful voice brought folks from all walks of life to the dance floor to put their array of dance moves on display. And so she dates back to like 1971 and then came back in 2014.
Amazing.
So kind of did like a Kylie Minogue thing of like locomotion, disappear, can't get you out of my head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though Kylie Minogue had like decades of music, just didn't make it here to the US.
Yeah. I was going to cancel. And then I actually don't know Kylie all that well. I know of her, but I
just
can't.
Housewives through a table. It's because you're a baby.
I know.
It's fair. I can't get you out of my head.
I
move out of my way?
I couldn't give you a melody if I tried.
Oh my God, I'm having a heart attack.
I know, I was going to cancel. I just came across...
That's like late in the game.
Yeah, I just came across that YouTube video at some point. That's like the...
Oh God, we've got homework to do.
So do you.
But Lil Nas doesn't count.
Yes, he so does.
Okay, fair, but so does Kylie. She's a gay icon.
Okay, I'll accept that.
I would even say, I mean, I like her more than Madonna. I said it.
Amazing.
Yeah. But I still love Madonna.
Yeah.
They're coming after me on the Twitter.
There we go. Let's get them to cancel
us. We've been canceled. So, by the Madonna Mafia. Yeah. Is that the name of her crew?
Madafia.
Ooh, that's good.
See, I'm doing it now.
You are a natural namer.
Thank you.
You're working up to be a natural memer.
I'm trying. Some days I can meme, and then other days I'm just not into it.
Fair. Gladys Bentley, pianist and blues extraordinaire.
Ooh.
Gladys Bentley was in the Harlem Renaissance. She wore suits.
Okay.
She was a suit wearer.
Very important.
She was wearing like a zoot suit, like a top hat.
Famous lineage of suit wearers.
Yeah. And she was a lesbian cross dresser.
Fuck yeah.
Headline at the Apollo, which is like just down the street from here.
I love the Apollo.
She was known. I've never been inside. I need to go.
I saw Desus and Miro there one time.
Oh my God.
With my dad.
Oh wow.
My dad is really into Desus and Miro.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's why you're so fabulous. So she was, oh my God, get this. So when she performed, she was accompanied by a chorus of drag queens.
Amazing.
So yeah, she was a trailblazer, but she, even though she reportedly married a woman during a civil ceremony in New Jersey, she began wearing dresses later in her life and claimed to be cured of her homosexuality by taking female hormones. So everyone's got a journey.
Everybody's got a journey.
And who am I to judge?
They don't always land in a good spot.
Doesn't always land. But you know what? Still snaps for you. You probably inspired other people.
Yeah.
And hang in there, y'all.
Yeah.
Therapy is good.
Absolutely.
Billie Holiday. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, winner of four posthumous, what is that word?
Posthumous.
See, learning here. Posthumous Grammy Awards for jazz. And yeah, she got her notoriety from playing in local clubs. Oh, yeah, she would sell at venues like Carnegie Hall throughout the 1950s, which is huge. 1950s, openly bisexual black woman, and just did her thing. But she was also blacklisted from certain opportunities. She did a rendition of Strange Fruit, which was by the Jewish poet and educator Abel Meeropol. And it was blacklisted in the United States for being too controversial.
Oh, yeah. Strange Fruit, that song is haunting.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the great songs.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. Like, I guess cancel culture is nothing new.
No, definitely not.
But the difference was back then the government would get involved in cancel culture. And that's the problem.
Yeah. And I think also... you know, cancel culture, like having a group of people try and shut another person down is nothing new.
Yeah.
But like back then it was like the
racist,
or at least it was such an idea of like the racist majority shutting people down. And now it feels like now all the men are whining because like all the comedians are saying you can't be racist. And it's all the I don't know.
It's complicated. I think that there are certain people that do deserve to be, like Harvey Weinstein canceled.
Yeah, absolutely.
R. Kelly canceled. Yeah, like people who are actively doing harm to other people.
Yeah.
I think that there is still grace for people who have maybe just said things in the past. There's a learning space and a learning curve for people and to give them space. And also too, it's like, if you're hella rich and you fucked up a lot, give some money to that organization, to organizations.
Yeah.
Like Chris Brown should have been donating money to like, you know, women support groups, not singing a boxing match.
Yeah. And, you know, we can talk about people being quote unquote canceled all that much, but how many of them are actually going to face consequences for this?
You know, I think that's the thing that we want to see.
These are still very rich men that are, you know, like, how canceled is Chris Brown really when he still has all his money?
Oh, he's not canceled at all.
Exactly.
He like made the, before cancel culture was a thing and we forgot. Because human beings actually really are. We're very forgiving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, also it just means like as a human being, you fucked up. Pay your penance.
Yeah.
We're probably going to forgive you, but be a better human being.
Say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Admit that you were wrong and that you're going to do it different.
Yeah. That's all we want.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
No.
Okay, this one is exciting. So the last one.
Lil Nas X.
Frankie, what?
Lil Nas X.
No.
Well,
he'll be on a list in like 20 years.
Yeah, okay.
He's not quite a trailblazer. He's getting there. Oh, gosh.
I disagree,
calm down, Generation
continue.
A. Frankie Knuckles.
Ooh.
So Frankie Knuckles, I owe to my Saturday nights because Frankie Knuckles essentially invented EDM.
Ooh.
Yeah. So legacy of EDM is rooted in house music, which is often stripped of its very queer and very black origins. And so Knuckles and a legion of electrically talented DJs frequently gathered in Chicago nightclubs called The Warehouse. And we're known to fuse all these different sounds of opposite genres such as soul and gospel, and would give it a huge sort of this would create this history changing subgenre. So and especially like in Chicago, where it's a festering with, you know, racism still to this day. And but the presence of house music established a community for black queer folks. So Frankie Knuckles created EDM. Take that, Deadmau5.
Take that, Deadmau5.
Because I have liked Deadmau5, but he's problematic as fuck.
Oh, what does he do?
He said something that, to the effect, I am paraphrasing here from what I remember from a Facebook post.
Yeah.
Because I had gone to a Deadmau5 concert and someone was like, yeah, but he said that his music isn't for like something about either for like gays or Vogue ball people or something. And you wouldn't have that music if it wasn't for people like Frankie Knuckles. So
yeah.
There it is. Add it to your Apple Music or your Spotify or your, I don't know, what do people else use? Your CD player?
CD player. Go to the library. What are the things download that people, it onto your Zoom? Hard drive.
Is it
Zoom?
Is what are the things that
Zoom?
People, yeah, your Zoom.
For the four people out there who still have a Zoom.
Get these people on, get them while they're hot.
Yeah.
And that was your Super Bowl queer halftime routine.
Oh my God. Yay.
Hey, Max Fun listeners. Have you been listening to Max Fun for a while and you've just been wondering, where's the new Flat Earth podcast I keep hearing about?
Well, here it is. We give you all the facts on NASA's lies and how we know that the Earth is actually flat.
Just kidding.
This is Ono, Ross, and Carrie, and we join fringe religious groups. We undergo alternative medical treatments.
And we hang out with people like 9/11 truthers, flat earthers. We find out, why do people believe strange things?
We join them, and we tell you all about it. We have a lot of fun. We make a lot of friends.
Yeah, we do. We joined the Mormons. We joined the Scientologists. We got acupunctured. We got fire cupped. We got ear candled. We've done it all, and we're going to keep doing it all. Why don't you check out Ono, Ross, and Carrie at MaximumFun.org?
Four. Are you ready for some sports?
Yeah, sports.
Ooh, love, love, love,
yeah, yeah. Ooh, so, yeah. Even though we talked only about the Super Bowl, basically, for the whole time up top,
yes.
We are not done with sports.
No.
There's so much more to talk about.
Give me more sports.
Specifically, some, you know, kind of self-promo stuff going on here. My show is called Sports for Gays.
It is.
And Curious Straits.
Yeah. Very informative. I went and I learned all about sports.
Oh my God, thank you so
much. The sports. I learned all about the sports.
That's goals.
Yeah.
That's what we want. I wanted to talk about kind of the history of gay people in major sports.
Wait a minute. Record scratch. Gay people play sports?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, some, we're going to get into why that might be surprising and all that kind of stuff. So first off, up top, I want to talk about specifically Major League Men's American Sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a quiz for you.
Oh my God. Okay. Right,
so a couple little cues here.
Wow.
So there are,
I just have to say, the tables are turned. Usually I do the quizzes, I'm on the other end.
Here
Whoa.
You are,
all right,
bitch.
Let's do it. Okay.
Shine a light in your face. Where were you last night? No.
That's
so,
a laundromat.
So, out of the big four American sports leagues.
Okay.
So, first off, there's a concept, the big four American sports leagues. What are they? Can you name the
yes.
four sports leagues?
Can I phone a friend? No.
No.
NFL.
You can phone me. Yep.
NFL.
NFL, National Football League.
MLB, Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball, yep.
NBA.
NBA, National Basketball Association.
Okay. And then we're going to... Ooh,
yeah, what's number
tricky.
Four? Number four is tricky. There's a couple different options.
I would have said, and this isn't my answer...
Mm-hmm.
My heart wants to say soccer, but Americans don't really like soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with the NHL because there's still a lot of white people in the U.S. and they like that sport.
Ding, 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 ding. NHL National Hockey League.
Yes.
Yeah, that was all four. Very
sorry,
good.
Soccer.
Very good. Very good. Sorry, soccer. So soccer's a little harder to quantify. If you go to North America, there's definitely like a top five, and it's like a Latin American soccer league that's,
yeah.
you know, kind of crossing between America. U.S. and Mexico. But in the U.S., soccer is really like number five-ish.
Yeah.
So they usually talk about the big four. So out of those big four American sports leagues, how many of those leagues have had, and I'm going to be specific here and we'll get into it.
Okay.
How many of these leagues have had an out gay man play a game while he was out? Basically, like, have a gay person play a game out to the public as gay.
Right.
In their league. Okay. How many of those leagues out of the four?
Out of the four? Well, I would say with the NFL, I know there's been one.
Okay.
And then I think in basketball, there's been, I'm going to say two, because I'm going to count Dennis Rodman. He's bisexual. And okay. So I would say Dennis Rodman. I think it's Jason.
I didn't know that.
Jason Collins.
You're so good. Okay. So
I be paying attention to my gay sports.
Yeah. So couple corrections here.
And wait, it also, because some of them, because there are people who, what they do is they come out after they've retired.
Yes. And so we're not counting those people.
No. Yeah.
They're very important. We'll talk about it. Yes. We'll, you know, we'll touch on them as well. But if we're talking about men who were gay while they were playing, and the key point there is played an actual game in the league, the number is 1 to 1.5, depending on how you define some of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So what are the leagues? First off, you got the one definitive one that we can say nobody can take away from you, which is in basketball, Mr. Jason Collins.
Snaps.
Of the Brooklyn Nets in 2014, I want to say.
Okay, facts.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
He joined the Brooklyn Nets after he came out. They signed him for a 10-day contract, and then they signed him out through the rest of the season for 2014. Out gay man. Wonderful, wonderful representation for the community.
Yeah.
First ever out gay man, really in the sense that we know it now, in any of the major American sports. He's number one. He, during his season on the Nets, chose jersey number 98.
Oh, what's the
Something happened in 1998. Can you think of what it was?
It wasn't Stonewall.
It was not Stonewall, but it was a significant gay thing that happened.
It wasn't gay marriage. Did Hawaii let something happen?
No.
Okay.
Matthew Shepard was murdered in 1998.
Snap. That was the year.
And so Jason Collins wore jersey number 98. The NBA sold his jersey, which they normally don't do for a starting player. It was really unusual for them to have this.
Yeah.
They sold the number 98 Collins jersey and gave the profits to a gay charity in Matthew Shepard's honor.
NBA.
Yeah.
NBA. Like, there is a way to not be a shitty sports league.
Yes.
And I think the NBA continuously, for me, is one of the better ones.
Yes, I would agree. And I would also say, if we're judging the sports, basketball is the best sport out of the four. I think basketball's the best.
Yeah.
People are always moving. It's very skill-based. It's very team-based. It's easy to follow. All the different kind of things. Gays, if you're going to pick a sport, do basketball.
Yeah.
And maybe the Brooklyn Nets, because they were the ones that signed him.
Yeah.
And I think that's a cool team to root for. Just throwing that out there.
I agree.
That's Jason Collins.
Cosine.
That is the one major sports league that we have for sure, for sure. You mentioned the NFL.
Yes.
There was a gay football player who had a lot of attention a couple of years ago.
Michael Sam,
look at you.
I'd be knowing.
So Michael Sam famously was the first out gay man to be drafted onto an NFL team.
And he kissed his boyfriend
when he received the news. It's so good, so good. ESPN aired him kissing his boyfriend as he received the news.
Amazing.
On air.
It's so amazing.
Everybody around the whole world.
Love it.
Michael Sam does not count for this category because he was cut before he ever made it to an actual NFL game.
Is he playing in the Canadian Football League now?
He played in the Canadian Football League, where he was the first out gay man in the Canadian Football League.
That sucks. Like, here's the thing. Was Michael Sam just not that good? Or
It is so impossible to tell about these kinds of things.
Yeah.
He was like a second round pick or something. Like, he was pretty high up there. He was pretty promising, if I remember his pick order correctly. You can't imagine that it helped him, right?
Right.
You cannot imagine
that he's coming in there with the added stress and pressure that he's having to deal with.
Yeah, and so all of that, and he did say about that after he quit even the Canadian League, he said that that was a major factor in him leaving the sport, that it was so much for him to deal with that he couldn't keep up with it. One has to wonder if that factored into the decision of him not coming in.
Yeah.
So that's Michael Sam. Who is the .5? Who is this other, maybe kind of, sort of, depending on how you define it, kind of thing?
Aaron Hernandez?
God, please don't. No, not Aaron Hernandez.
Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that. We don't have to return to that also if we don't need to, but whatever. No, the final person
Dennis Rodman.
No. I'm talking about leagues here. So Dennis is his own category.
Okay.
This is in baseball, and this person is historic as fuck, and we don't know
Babe Ruth.
Talk about this person enough. No. So this is a man named Glenn Burke back in the 70s.
Okay.
Glenn Burke was first on the Dodgers and then was traded over to the Oakland Raiders, or not the Raiders, sorry, the Oakland A's.
Okay, I believe.
He was the first person who was out to his team. Mm. So everybody on the team knew that he was a gay man. He's kind of the asterisk, half point, because in a lot of ways it was an open secret. He got a lot of taunting about it on the field, but he never had like a Sports Illustrated, I'm gay, here right. I am kind of moment. Yeah.
But player doesn't get taunted and called the F word on the field?
True, I'm not co-signing on this.
Y'all need to change that.
Oh, no. I was assuming you, I thought you'd want people to call use more that, people.
Yeah. Surprise, no. I'm coming out against it.
Okay, defining that stance, good. I was wondering. But he was more out and more gay in ways that people just were not at that time. Mm. Like, it was so much more prominent about him than other people. Wow. And so he was really the first of the first of the first, so long before anybody else. Black man.
Huge. What I'm noticing a trend is actually all three of the people that we just named is black. So there's this huge sort of intersectional thing.
Absolutely.
Much more even challenging to run that line of being intersectional and a sports star, but also what that means for those people who are watching on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Like, these people are amazing. And so Glenn Burke has a lot of cool stuff. He definitely moved from the Dodgers to Oakland because of homophobia. His management did not have so much hit. His management in L.A. did not like that he was gay. It became a problem.
The Bay Area was more cool with it. That's where I'm from.
They kind of moved him to a lesser team. They kind of sidelined him was sort of the thing. And they picked him up. And
because the Oakland A's didn't get good until Moneyball.
I guess so. I know about the gays. I don't know the history of how each of the teams
and
did.
I only know about the name of the movie because I've seen it and what it did in baseball and restructured things and made teams good.
Amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Of the details.
I'm so proud of you.
Brad Pitt.
More than me. Jonah Hill.
Yes!
Sure. But the other really important thing that Glenn Burke did, one day on the field while he was still part of the Dodgers, one of his teammates came back in after doing a good baseball thing. I don't remember what he did.
Someone caught a ball or got
somebody,
out,
somebody
scored a
did
base.
A, somebody did a good thing, and he was walking back in, and they walked
good
past.
Good thing.
They walked past each other. They raised their hands into the sky, and they slapped each other's hands as they walked by. Commonly known as the high five.
Did they Glenn invent the Burke, high five?
Glenn Burke, a gay black baseball player, is credited with having originated the high five.
Amazing.
This was not a thing that people did often before then.
That is amazing.
The high five, the tool of gay oppression, what the straights do to bring us down, was invented by a gay black man.
Snaps.
And rumors go that while he was in Oakland and while people were walking around the streets, a high five was gay code to each other in the Castro.
Wow.
That you were gay.
Now every time I see all these guys high-fiving around, I'm going to be like, ooh, they gay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if you do a high five,
means you're gay.
That's mean that you and your friend are both gay.
You guys are
going
to go fuck each other.
After, so that's what that
after
means.
A good baseball thing.
But isn't that amazing?
That is so amazing.
And so
also, gays make so much of our culture.
Yes, absolutely.
We invent so much. We're so creative.
He's so creative. And so it's such a cool story. Why is there not a biopic of this man? Like
called The High Five.
Yeah. The high five or something like that. He did die of HIV related causes in the 90s, as a lot of our, you know, our brothers and our forebearers did.
Yeah. All the more reasons that's an Academy Award winning movie right there.
Yes, absolutely.
I could play the part.
Yeah, you could.
Another vehicle for me.
Yeah, let's pitch it.
Okay, all right.
Actually, though, that'd be wonderful. But so cool. And he has this really important quote that he said. I don't have the wording in front of me right now.
Look it up.
I should have.
He said a really great quote.
He said a really great quote that I'm going to paraphrase right now. But it was basically along the lines of, they said that a gay man can't play baseball, but I'm gay and I played baseball, so it can happen.
Wow.
and it can happen in the future. It can happen again, basically. And to this day, no man has been out and gay while he played baseball.
They always come out afterwards.
There have been a couple that have come out afterwards. There have been a couple that have been part of like satellite minor league teams that are making it up there. Maybe there's a chance in the future, but it's nobody else.
So sad that they're not, like, especially after all this time, and there's just still so far and few between.
There's so few.
But yet, you look at all the men that are playing in these sports, statistically.
I got the numbers down here.
Okay, give me the numbers.
I did some research. So, of course, the fourth league that we have to talk about, the National Hockey League.
Mm.
National Hockey League, there is not a single person who is out while he played, nor has there ever been a single man who has come out as gay after he finished in the NHL.
Interesting.
The NHL has 18,000 players approximately that have gone through its ranks over the years. Yeah. Not a single gay man out of any of them.
Wow.
None. Zero.
But statistically, if like, I don't know, these numbers are skewed because I don't think people answer correctly anyway, especially if you can consider like bisexual as well. Mm-hmm. But that would mean there'd be at least like 2,000 men or
something
like if not
maybe
higher, because again, we don't, bisexuality is hard to measure because people don't know how to really,
and you know, homophobia and self-selection, like the straights are the ones that are going to make it through, so those numbers might actually really be different. But yes, there is no world in which there are not a really large number of closeted gay men who never came out in hockey and in a number of these different sports.
Yeah,
there are rumors flying around for a number of different really high profile people in the sports. I don't love to talk about like the is he gay rumor. It's a little, I don't know, but there certainly is a big portion of people out there. So like, that's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
So between all of these leagues, I counted up the numbers. Basketball's only had about 3,000 people since the NBA. It's kind of a young one. NFL, 25,000 people over its years, approximately. Yeah. These are all really rough numbers.
Those teams are big.
MLB, about 15,000. National Hockey League, about 18,000. That rounds out to very, very rough 75, a little bit less thousand-ish people.
Mm-hmm.
And every single gay person between all of them throughout history could fill a small dinner party. That's like one pool party in like Palm Springs.
Oh yeah,
which would be an amazing party. Don't get me wrong,
the
but like
was there,
yeah, it was I'm sure,
and it was sports themed too.
Yeah, it was. But that's crazy, right?
That's wild.
Out of all of these people, and as I've been doing the research for the show, it shocked me. I thought that there would be more.
Yeah,
you know, I think especially like, you know, as a white gay or whatever, we imagine that like this idea of like gay representation, the struggle isn't won, but the thought is that we've come far.
Yeah.
Right. The thought is
moved the needle.
We have moved the needle. You are allowed to be gay in public now. There are some gay characters in movies and TV. There are some movies and TV that are about gay people. Like I'm not saying that we've made it. I'm not saying that there's room to go, but you would think we've made progress, but sports is this place where we really have not.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too. I have been chomping at the bits to talk about this.
Yeah.
I watched a Netflix documentary about Aaron Hernandez.
Right. Pain is taken out. Now we're doing it.
I have to. I highly recommend it.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's
so
a
full disclosure. It's a
three-part documentary series.
I will watch it for sure.
It sucked me in because I had heard tidbits about Aaron Hernandez. Yeah. He played for the New England Patriots. And I heard just little like articles here and there. And the documentary is a wild ride because essentially Aaron Hernandez murdered one person who then also probably murdered two other people years before that and shot somebody else who still survived. And, you know, he's a Latino playing in this football league, and it comes out as it's going along that, like, you know, there was this guy back in high school that he was on this football team that he had fooled around with, and that essentially, long story long, that Aaron Hernandez was probably struggling with his homosexuality or he could have been bi. Like, but he was struggling with that. His dad, who was a football player who ended up dying when he was younger, was very homophobic and ideas of what a man should be. And then also the documentary makes this other case about Aaron Hernandez when after he killed himself. Spoiler alert. They looked at his brain and he had terrible CTE. Oh, yeah. And yeah, CTE definitely. Is like
chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yes. And there's a number of NFL players who actually end up killing themselves who also have
NHL too has a huge problem with it.
With CTE. And I think, and so there's also like there's a case that gets made in this as well, but not saying that's why Aaron Hernandez did all the things that he did, but I think it's a recipe for disaster. Yeah. He also was sexually abused as a child. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting is a lot of these documentaries that I've watched, whether it's the Michael Jackson documentary or the Whitney Houston one, these people who have these traumatic, fucked up lives, there's some sort of oppression mm-hmm. of their sexuality mm-hmm. Or of child abuse.
Yeah.
And then if you mix in that, like these people that have this brain damage, their brain isn't functioning at like a correct level.
Yeah.
And that the NFL is not doing enough to, again, the NFL is just a fucked up organization.
Absolutely.
Like, it's this gladiatorial sport.
Totally.
And people are, that's why, like, I applaud, like, the NBA, because you just, you might get injured, but you're not, there's not a record of brain damage that's happening.
Well, yeah, because just the nature of football is inherently violent. You're throwing yourself at somebody at full force.
Yeah.
When you throw a 250-pound man onto another man, there's just enough force going on that it's going to fuck your head up. It's going to fuck your back up. It's going to fuck your legs up. Like, it is violence with armor on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. Just to go crashing against each other.
And it's hard. It's...
Can't we move into rugby instead?
I so agree.
Because
with
there
that.
Are out rugby players.
There are out rugby
players. It's still that sort of adrenaline aggressive thing, but you're not headbutting, you know?
No, like headbutting, no tackling.
Let's move into that.
Rugby also does not pause. It doesn't stop and reset nearly as often, if at all, during the sport.
And the guys are hotter because they have. So fucking hot. And you can see it all.
Yes, because they wear those short ass shorts and those tight polo shirts.
And there's
shirts.
More muscles that you
they're
have to
wear.
They're
just so beefy. Like, they're wearing the armor and it just makes them all look weird and disproportionate. Yeah. I'm so here for
Let's
rugby to be a thing.
Move over NFL. We need the RFL.
Rugby is like number one hottest sports player for sure.
Well, and again, too, there are, again, like they're out rugby players. Yeah. So it's more of a supportive sort of community like that happens there.
And so it's kind of this weird thing where you do see in the smaller sports that we maybe don't pay as much attention to, secretly you can actually get a lot of representation and it's not as big of a deal because you don't have this super giant major American NFL style mechanism behind it.
Yeah.
And so you can have a gay rugby player. There are a lot of gay soccer players who have played in the different international leagues. The fucking NASCAR.
Yeah.
When I did my show for NASCAR, NASCAR has had a gay driver without an issue.
Right.
Multiple female drivers.
Right.
Multiple black drivers. Yeah. Well, you know, comparison. There's compared to every other sport, that's nothing special. And that's actually NASCAR's probably biggest downfall.
Right.
There are just gay people in NASCAR.
Because there's probably not as, like, there's not as much, I guess, maybe capitalism that's involved in it.
True.
And they're so afraid to take risks. And
there's a lot less profile while you're playing the game.
Yeah.
Because you're in this car.
Right. We can't really see you.
Yeah.
And your hot body.
Yeah.
I will say, so in the documentary about Aaron Hernandez, there's another player who, I forget, something McCallahan or something.
Mm-hmm.
He came out after he left the league, and he had a psychiatrist, an NFL psychiatrist, mm-hmm. and he was coming out. His whole entire thing was he was trying to gain as much weight and make himself as ugly as possible so no one would think that he was gay or that they wouldn't doubt why he's not dating a woman because he's just
what
like
I did in high school.
Well,
kind of.
But like, and so, well, it's so sad because he was like, well, this way people won't be like, well, this is why isn't he dating someone? And she's like, well, he couldn't possibly because look at him.
Wow.
And she said to him, you're not the only player in the league that I've had this conversation with. So they're there.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Absolutely.
And then also too, like they are shooting these players up with all these like steroids and stuff that it's literally like it's gladiators and it's disgusting. And I think we just need to take, there's so many reasons to give pause on the NFL.
Yeah.
Similar to the Iowa caucus, just putting that in there, that when there's something that shows you that there's so much problematic shit with it, let's press pause on it.
The roots are rotten. We got to start digging.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah,
there it is.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yes.
We've talked so much about sports.
Yeah.
We can't have a full discussion about sports without talking about women.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And all of the women's leagues and all of like the gay representation that we've had as far as there. I think, again, we see a really similar trend with maybe some of the minor sports and the idea of women's leagues don't have such a large magnifying glass under them that queer people are allowed to flourish and be part of it in a way that they aren't over here.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Megan Rapinoe, U.S. women's soccer team.
Yes.
Like, the history of, like, really prominent lesbians and queer people in women's sports is long and storied. People playing at every level, people playing at the professional levels.
Yeah.
Soccer, women's
WNBA.
Soccer. WNBA, come on. Like, there are a lot of really great examples there as well. Women's soccer had an All-Stars game last year, the year before, where 40% of the people on the team were lesbians.
Wow.
And one of the teams was over 80% gay people.
Wow.
On the All-Star game.
It's also crazy, too, because I do believe that the women's soccer, they're better than the men's soccer, and they make less money.
Yes. Significantly less money.
It's bullshit.
Disgustingly less amounts of money than the men's leagues. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting thought. Why is it that women can be gay in sports so much more than men can? And I'm not trying to imply that, like, that's any sort of, you know, privilege or anything like that.
For
it's
sure,
just, I think it's a combination of we aren't paying as much attention to women's sports,
true,
even though we should be, because they're amazing.
Women and men alike, like,
even,
you know, like, we're in such a patriarchy that, like, not no one's paying attention, but, like, there's not enough eyes on these women's sports, and there should be.
Yeah. And I think that there is also just this culture, and there is this really powerful, toxic push in boys' sports to be the ultimate masculine, to be the manliest man, the most heterosexual. And I think in girls' sports, there's more room for that not to be the case. You're not expecting a woman to be the height of femininity all the time. Like, there are absolutely pressures. I'm not saying that. But it's really interesting to see how, like, it's so reversed. And it's two completely separate worlds that are going on. Also, another really prominent gay woman, first ever female coach, first ever gay coach, is one Miss Katie Sowers. On the 49ers.
Yeah, I saw her in a commercial, and I was like, we turned the volume up, because we're like, is this a woman, like, coaching? And there she was, a female coaching.
Coach, first gay coach, first female coach. Two in one, baby.
I thought that was so dope. It also gave me pause of, like, why aren't there more women? Why isn't there, like, a women's either football league, or why aren't there women playing football?
Yeah.
Like, still room to grow in that.
So, oh my God, I looked up a women's football league. There are some, like, real women's football leagues and something like that. But there's also this, like, one really gross league where all of the women are, like,
lingerie. It's like a
they're
game.
Like, all models, and they have just the, like, shoulder pads on them, and then they're in just underwear.
Like bikinis.
Bikini.
I think it happens
underwear.
Like the day of the Super Bowl, right? It's called, like, the Lingerie Bowl or something.
I don't know. I watched this commercial, this advertisement for them, and it was a dude coaching them. He was like, well, I think it's crazy, but these girls are actually, they're doing the real thing. And it was just the most, like, gross patronizing thing ever.
We're not there yet.
We've got room to go.
We
are seriously not.
Well, we definitely just need more gays out in sports.
Yes,
we're out there.
Absolutely.
So guys who are listening, who are playing in the NFL, who are playing in the NBA, I know you're listening to Minority Corner.
Yeah.
Come out. You'll save lives. You'll save your own life.
Yeah.
Look at what happened to Aaron Hernandez, and don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't be that.
Well, thanks, Cole.
Of course. This is so fun.
Woo! What an episode. Wow. Cole, so fabulous having you on here. I feel like I know so much more about sports. That's what happens when Cole's around. Before we get to the fact check, I do want to get to the tweet of the week. Remember that? We do have a Twitter. Don't be afraid to use it, all y'all. We are at Minority Corner on Twitter. We're also on Instagram. Some of you have been digging in there. I'm excited about the Instagram. I know how to use Instagram a little bit more than I do Twitter, a lot of it more, if you will. So I'm hoping to put fun things on there, like quotes and like videos with upcoming guests and just all things that Instagram will hold. But on Twitter this week, big shout out to at Dion Dude tweeted, someone had asked, what are some of y'all favorites podcasts? At that Dion Dude said, at Minority Corner, hands down the best out there. Topics range from pop culture, everything black, LGBTQIA, friendly and allies, explaining what's going on in the political world, and so much more. I have to tell you that this tweet came at the most perfect time for me. I think the I think the Senate had just announced that they were going to not have witnesses, and my head exploded, and I was like, oh my God, democracy is over. And then I looked at the Twitter, and then this tweet was there, and I thought, okay, you all understand what it is that we're doing here, and it felt like, okay, what we're doing here is important, and it gave me strength and it gave me faith. So I appreciated that tweet so much. So let's get to the fact check. Y'all like this fact check? Tweet about it. I enjoy doing the fact check because sometimes, you know, we just be talking. When it comes to the Super Bowl, there was so much happening. We didn't even mention that J-Lo's daughter, Emma, slayed up on that stage. So dope. Love a mother-daughter duo. This seems amazing, and it's going to turn out a lot better than Liza and Judy. Although Liza's doing okay. But Judy, that didn't work out so well. Also, I have to say, we didn't even mention this, but performing the Super Bowl at this point is so challenging, especially for Black artists. And I think that it was really dope to see, I think we did talk about this, but just seeing a Latinx duo up there just slaying. I would have loved to have seen some Gloria Estefan, but can't always get what you want. Taylor Swift, was actually born in Pennsylvania. I know so much about Taylor Swift now. I'm kind of embarrassed, but whatever. She was born in Pennsylvania and at the age of 9 went to Tennessee. I think I said that she was born and from the South, but she's not. But she did move down there to go chase her dreams. They were waiting for her in Nashville. Also, I was side-eyeing Britney because she hasn't come out to be political or anything, but caveat, before she did the In The Zone album, she had tried to write this album called Original Doll, and she was going to come out and have like a gay anthem, and she was writing all this music on her own. She was trying to step out and be on her own, and her record label was pretty much like, nope, this isn't you, that's not your brand, you're not going to be political, you're not going to be that. They, you know, were controlling her, and then she broke her leg, met Kevin Federline, the rest is history. So she's like, fine, I'm just going to stay in my lane. Make a dollar, make some music, twirl my pretty dresses and make some paintings. I think I said the phrase wrong. I think I said beating a horse to death. That's not a saying. That's just a terrible thing to do or say. The saying is beating a dead horse. I misspoke. We also just off the cuff mentioned like how Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk sounds like Uptown Fuck. Uptown music gonna funk you up. It sounds like fuck you up. And it's purposely done that way. And then when you hear kids say it, it's like, ugh. But we also casually just dropped in If You Seek Amy, which is Britney's song. And If You Seek Amy, the song is like, if you seek Amy, like you're looking for Amy. But if you say it fast enough, it just sounds like, if you seek Amy. F-U-C-K me. Fuck me. The song's about fucking. Sorry, kids and parents, but kids gotta learn. So I was looking for the exact Deadmau5 quote. I couldn't find it. I do. If you just Google Deadmau5 homophobic, he's said tons of homophobic and transphobic stuff. So upsetting. I really dig his beats, but his comments are terrible. But he does this thing where he says these comments, but he's like, I'm not really homophobic or transphobic, but he says these things online because it's like he's just an 8-year-old boy who just doesn't really get it and really understand. It's so frustrating. Sometimes these folks don't need social media and just better to be silent. Some artists just actually shouldn't speak. Just keep your mouse hat on and spin the track, DJ. But I couldn't find the exact quote where he said, I don't make music for gay people or ballroom culture or something. And he probably dropped the F-bomb in it. And I don't mean fuck. I don't mean he meant he was going to Uptown funk us up. And I couldn't remember the name of the other out player in the documentary about Aaron Hernandez. And he is Ryan Thomas O'Callaghan. He played for the New England Patriots. He was drafted in the 5th round of 2006. And he also played for the Kansas City Chiefs, who just won the Super Bowl. But he did not come out until after he had left. Really great 3-part documentary series. Also, I will be linking in the show notes a link to the petition that if you've seen the Taylor Swift video, you need to calm down. I'm not a super fan, y'all. I'm just highlighting some good work that's happening. But she has signed this petition. It's to support the Equality Act. And she's looking to get 1 million signatures. Taylor Swift is leading the charge. We're about halfway there. So I'm going to link it in the show notes. Make sure that you've signed it because there should just absolutely be the Equality Act. Let's get, maybe not this Senate. I have to look at it. But let's get the signatures now. And then after 2020, we can push it to the new blue Senate and get some equality because it's about damn time. Oh, a really fun thing. I curated a playlist of the music that I talked about from our Minority Corner halftime routine of the queer black musical Trailblazers. There is a link in the show notes. I will also be posting it in the Minority Corner Kids Facebook playground that will be there. So you can listen to some of the artists that we were talking about. I think I pretty much found songs for all of them. Even Jennifer Lopez's 10s. What did I miss? Last bit of housekeeping, you can still get your very own Minority Corner t-shirt, your own swag. I didn't know we had it. They're going to be stop selling these shirts very soon. Sorry, y'all. But these shirts say side-eye your heroes from the wonderful term that Aneke had coined for us. So make sure to go to the Maximum Fun store and pick up your t-shirt of Side-Eye Your Heroes. All right, y'all, that's it for me this week. Connect to us on the social media waves. Thank you so much to Cole for joining us for the show. Such a blast having you here. And thank you to all of you for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Have a great week. Love y'all. Mwah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.